1 Samuel 16, and then we are going to head to 1 Timothy, where Mark's going to be as well, 1 Samuel 16. And looking today at kind of a familiar thought, probably, that man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. And you remember the context here? The Lord has rejected Saul as king and about to anoint Samuel. Samuel's about to anoint David as king. And chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king of Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Look in verse 6. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." He must have looked like a kingly guy. Verse 7, though, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then you see in verse 12, and he sent, they went through all the sons, you might remember. And Samuel asked Jesse, "Is there any more?" And Jesse said, "Oh yeah, there's one. He's out with the sheep." And in verse 12, he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of all the brothers. And I thought this was key, and I'd always missed this, never seen it before. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went with Ramah. And so man can look at the outward appearance, and certainly David had some attractive features, but he was just a little guy. But we never know what God's going to do with the heart. And we didn't know which of the brothers the Spirit of the Lord was going to rush upon, but the Lord knew that. And the Lord causes that. It's the Lord is the only one who would do that. And like we looked at a couple weeks ago, the Spirit is the one that determines what kind of giftedness each person has. And so when we look at the outward appearance, we don't see that. Certainly the Lord knows that perfectly. And one more place, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Before, we're going to look at three things that might be tempting for us, and then kind of three questions before we go to him with confession. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I can't wait till Mark gets here, because this is a interesting chapter. Verse 7. "I have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself to be for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And so I imagine three things tempt us. And I'd like for us to think about how we see ourselves in this, kind of think inwardly, but then how we look at others. So there's probably two parts to each of these temptations. First of all, I think we're attracted by what we see, the physical, rather than what God sees, a godly heart. That comes directly from the passage. Number two, we value the temporary over the eternal. Verse 8, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is value in every way, as it holds promise for what? Both this present life and the life to come." So we value the temporary over the eternal, but our Lord says, "Fix your eyes not on the physical, which has value for this life alone, but on godliness, which has value for both this life and all of eternity." 2 Corinthians, you might remember, says we do not lose heart. For outwardly, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we see, but on what's unseen. For what's seen is temporary, and what's unseen is eternal. And so that's what we tend to value. And then thirdly, I think a derivative from this first two maybe, is we generally trust what we see. Maybe worst of all, We are commanded to live by faith and not by sight. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's not trust what we can see, but live by faith instead. So three questions as we go before our Lord. Are we attracted merely by what we see? Do we value merely what we see? And then do we trust what we see rather than living by faith? Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And you might remember Isaiah 53:2. Even our Lord Jesus had no former majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So even through the perfect picture of our Lord Jesus, the physical was downplayed while the spiritual was what was important. So let me give you a minute, and I will close this then. Father, we come before you, thankful for the Holy Spirit's conviction on areas where we are missing the mark, and thankful, for, even maybe more thankful than that you not only have forgiven those things and washed them as far as east is from the west, but that you will weed that sin out of our life, and that you will sanctify us, and that you who began that good work in us will carry it on to completion. And so, Father, we would confess that oftentimes we're attracted by the outward appearance more than by the inward beauty or the heart. And Father, we would confess that sometimes we value what we see and what is temporary more than what is eternal. And Lord, then we trust oftentimes what we see as well, instead of living by faith. And I believe we're guilty in not only how we see ourselves or what we value in ourselves, but then how we look at others. And so, Lord, we leave this into your hands. I'm so grateful that you forgive us, and I'm so grateful that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as I know how condemned I would be if this was the case. But thank you that Christ has freed us from the penalty of sin, and in the process of freeing us from the power of that sin. And someday we'll be freed from the presence of all of this sin. And we long for that day. And we pray that you would use both now the worship and music and through communion and Mark in the, as you use your word to convict and encourage us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.